This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
A lot about in this offseason that I think has to make that big jump is Arnold Ebiketie. And I'm liking the things that I'm hearing out of him. He's talking about the game slowing down and all these different things. How important do you think it is for Ebiketie to have that breakout season and, if nothing else, at least solidify one side of this pass rush for this team?
Well, listen, I mean, that's what they want, right? Like, you draft a guy in the second round, you invest in him. You hope that, and they've been very patient in the past. We talked about it, I think, the last time I was on with Richie Grant, and Richie Grant's a good example. They'd like that to happen, but much like they've done at a lot of other positions, honestly, they've built fail-safes in case it doesn't. And by that, I mean, you've got Bud Dupree, you've got Lorenzo Carter. Obviously, they hope D'Angelo Malone will take a step as well. You've got Caden Ellis there. So, if for some reason Ebiketie doesn't take that step, it's not like they're in deep waters. We'll call it that. I would use a different word if we weren't talking on terrestrial radio. I think they're put in an okay situation if it doesn't come, but they're obviously hoping it does. And you saw the flashes of the potential there last year, which is what you're banking on if you are the Falcons, because he was able to get to the quarterback even though he didn't finish. And that's a good first step. And as he learns more and as he has more help around him, which the Falcons have done, then it's entirely possible. But if it doesn't come from him, I think they've put enough other players in position that they're hoping that it will come from somebody.
How active do you think that they're going to feature Caden Ellis? I mean, obviously that this is a guy that we're hearing a lot of things about potential breakout seasons, and I think he's on the NFL.com's, you know, all breakout team and this, that, and the other. How much do you think they feature him this year?
We'll see. I mean, he doesn't come here if it's not clear that Ryan Nielsen has a plan for him and is going to use him, because he would have had a role in New Orleans still, I would imagine. And Ryan Nielsen knows him better than anybody, as does their general manager, Terry Fontenot, because Terry Fontenot was part of the crew that drafted him before Terry Fontenot came here to be the GM. And Ryan Nielsen was the co-defensive coordinator last year when Caden Ellis had his breakout after, I believe, it was Pete Werner got hurt. So I think that there's a plan there. Now, what that looks like, I don't know. Because remember, and this isn't to throw a dampener on anything, there was so much excitement a year ago at this time when Lorenzo Carter signed after he had had a very similar end of season with the Giants, like Caden Ellis had end of season with the Saints. And we saw what Lorenzo Carter did last year. Lorenzo Carter was a fine player. He was asked to do way more than he probably ever anticipated as far as an edge setter, because Ebiketie and Malone, and even to an extent Adeogundeji, just weren't ready yet. So I think that limited and hurt maybe some of Lorenzo Carter's effectiveness as a pass rusher. But just because it worked one place doesn't mean it's necessarily going to work another. Now, to me, I think there's a lot of hope and focus that it will here because of the familiarity because of Ryan Nielsen and the defensive scheme. But to me, he is a player that they are once again hoping they see that from. We have seen the Falcons take these chances before. They were doing it on one-year deals. Now you're seeing it more, I think, on what look like more two-year deals. And Caden Ellis is a young player. The tools are there. The motor's there. It's just a matter of does it follow through. And I think, again, it's, you know, we talk about guys like Ebiketie. We talk about guys like Caden Ellis. And that's great. But the reality of all of it is if Calais Campbell and Grady Jarrett and Taquan Graham and whoever's lined up opposite one of these guys, even if or one or the other, if they're not getting the pressure they need, it's not going to matter because you need to have someone getting leverage somewhere. And that's the big key, and that's really what the Falcons have done is they've given themselves enough players and enough options that someone they hope is going to break out and get it somewhere, whether that is Armand Ebiketie, whether that is Caden Ellis, whether that's D'Angelo Malone, who a lot of people are not talking about right now. That I think all remains whether Bud Dupree stays healthy, because when he's healthy, we see what he can do. You know, all of that remains to be seen.
Mike Rothstein on the WadeFort.com hotline covers the Atlanta Falcons for ESPN and ESPN.com. I've described, again, you may not think this is fair, but I've described Caden Ellis as the defensive Caleb McGarry. He's had one breakout season, but his first 3 years were okay. I mean, they didn't see a whole lot of him, and he did play pretty good much. But I I'll have to see it to believe that this is going to be the big breakout year that everybody expects from him.
Chuckery, there's no doubt, my man. Like that's part of it, right? Like you have to see it. I don't know if the comparison to Caleb McGarry is fair. Like, because he's entering a new scheme, he's entering a new situation entirely. He's obviously a defensive coordinator he's comfortable with. But let's be honest, right? If you're going to make the comparison to Caleb McGarry, let's call it what it is. Caleb McGarry was essentially a three-year starter for Atlanta, right? Mm-hmm. Like, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously dealt with some injuries here and there early on. Last year was the first year he was a full-time. He was fully healthy, I would say. But he was starting games before that. Caden Ellis has 12 career starts, 11 of them coming last year. Not only that, he played 5 defensive snaps in 2020. That got up to 191 snaps, which is about 23% defensively in 2021. So we're talking about a guy who was very clearly a rotational guy before last year where he played about half. And again, a lot of that came once there was injuries on the Saints team. So I don't think a comparison to Caleb McGarry is fair because we saw more from Caleb McGarry, injuries being dealt with or not, than we saw from than we've seen from Caden Ellis. I just don't think that that's a fair type of label, especially considering what people were talking about Caleb McGarry as a year ago at this time, as a massive question mark and a like, well, I don't think this is going to work out. Like I just don't think that's fair to do that to a guy who started 12 games and in a new system, and all of those 12 games, 11 of them come in one season.
No, I mean,
I'm sorry. I'm just not buying him, man.
Well, I'll say it like this. There's a reason why guys 3 years into the league are rotational guys. And usually it takes injuries to finally get your chance. I mean, if Caden Ellis was going to be this breakout player, why have we only seen it in his fourth year? I mean, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I mean, again, there's reasons why guys spend the first 3 years of their career in just rotational roles. Yeah, again, Adi Ogundeji is a guy who probably has played way more than he ever should have. He's probably at best a rotational guy, but he's had a chance to start probably at the detriment to, maybe the Falcons' defense at times.
Yeah, well, I mean, they also remember the last 2 years they've been putting that defense together with, duct tape and glue and some wire and that was just that's just what so much of it was. They drafted Adi Ogundeji and he ended up having himself a role and had himself a good rookie year because he was in part that was all they had. Remember who some of those edge rushers were then, that as a rookie, right? It was Dante Fowler. It was Brandon Copeland, who basically was playing hurt that whole year, Steven Means, and Ade Ogundeji. And I think they had a couple other guys, too, that I'm just playing. I mean, John Kaminsky kind of, but, like, you know, they had Tuoti Marinier, who they were trying to turn into an edge rusher until they cut. I mean, you have to remember who some of those guys were. So, of course, with the what they were then, like what they were, like they wanted to play Ogundeji to get him the reps. I mean, look at last year's probably a better indication when they had a little bit more there and they had other young guys and you saw Ogundeji be much more of a rotational guy. I feel bad in some ways for Ade Ogundeji in terms of how people might view him because it's very similar to Jalen Mayfield in that I know Ogundeji has had more success than Jalen Mayfield, but they were thrown into situations that realistically they probably were a year early for, and that can be really hard on a player. It's great to get the experience, but if the success doesn't come, like that can mess with you a little bit. So it was a tough ask for Ade Ogundeji, and this is a big year for him. I'm very curious to see how this shakes out for him because all of a sudden he's in a situation where there's a lot of guys competing for roster spots versus, hey, he's probably going to be on the roster. It's just a matter of in the rotation. Brian, you can say the same thing, by the way, about Jalen Mayfield.
Well, and I'll ask you about Jalen Mayfield. Like, where does he fit? I mean, we've heard, by and large, we've heard next to nothing about Jalen Mayfield, who started every game a couple of years ago. Obviously, he was dealing with all the injuries last year. But we've heard nothing about, is he a tackle? Is he going to be a guard? Where's his role going to be? I mean, is he kind of this forgotten man in this offensive line scheme with Bergeron and some of these other guys? He's just kind of gotten lost in the shuffle?
I don't know if I'll call it lost in the shuffle. And by the way, he started every – remember, he wasn't supposed to start.
Right.
Like, people forget that. He was not supposed to start as a rookie. That was Josh Andrews' job. Then Josh Andrews, after cuts, like the day after cuts, or it was maybe that afternoon, he broke his hand or foot. I forget which one it was. It's been a couple of years. And all of a sudden, Jalen Mayfield, who spent most of training camp at tackle, filling in for Caleb McGarry, a place he's much more comfortable, had to go into guard. That's a tough chance to succeed. It really is. And it got better. I mean, but it was a tough chance to succeed for him. So then last year, he was dealing with injuries, and they had a guy in Matt Hennessy that they trusted, and they had a guy in Elijah Wilkinson who they signed and won the job and was pretty darn good until he dealt with injuries. Remember, they played five different guys? Like, yeah, this is a big year for Jalen Mayfield. In my eyes, he's playing from behind. But he also might be playing his most natural position now if they end up moving him out to tackle. Remember, when he came back from, when he was kind of returned to play protocol, or the kind of return to play for off of the injury but not activated when they had those few weeks before, you know, they decided to shut him down for the year, he was working out in practice as a tackle, as much as a guard. So, I would anticipate we'll probably see him maybe more as a tackle than as a guard, and we'll see how that goes because they drafted a guy in Bergeron who's going to be a guard, and maybe they're starting left guard. We'll see how that shakes out. We'll get probably a better handle of that maybe starting next week or maybe even starting Wednesday, depending who shows up at OTAs and who doesn't, Wednesday being tomorrow. So I don't know if we know that answer yet. I would not count Jalen Mayfield out because the talent is there, but much like Ade Ogundeji, I don't think it's an obvious he is absolutely on the roster situation because if Arthur Smith has shown you one thing, there's no entitlement there. Like he will take the best guys. He has said over and over, you've heard Terry Fontenot say it, they want it to be hard to make this team because that means that they brought in good guys in terms of talent and that they've got a real shot. So they want it to be hard for a guy like an Ade Ogundeji, a guy like a Jalen Mayfield to make this team, a guy like a Frank Darby, to make this team. Like they want it to be difficult for guys that they have drafted a couple years ago to make this team if they haven't shown, you know, a whole bunch on the field yet. So I'm not surprised that those three guys would be in that situation. I still think Frank Darby in because a lot of people, you know, don't talk about him at all, but that receiver room is wide open other than probably Mac Hollins and obviously that Drake London guy.
Mike Rothstein covers the Atlanta Falcons for ESPN. ESPN.com is where you can check out all of his work. He's on Twitter, too, at Mike Rothstein, and join me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Mike, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for a few minutes on the show tonight. We will chat again. Listen, we'll chat again and we'll argue again soon.
Yeah, listen, I'm not trying to get into it. No, listen. This is the truth of it, right, Chuck? It's all speculation season. So when we see all breakout team, all this or that, like, no one really knows, because you want to know what's happened so far. Not to get off on this a little bit, but like, you want to know what's happened so far? Ryan Nielsen has not told you what his defense is going to look like.
Right.
He's seen it a little bit, but not really. We have no idea. We will not anything that anyone, this is important for your listeners to know. And I will scream it from the rooftops on Twitter, on Blue Sky, on Instagram, on wherever I am at Mike Rothstein, and also on ESPN.com. Anything right now is speculation. We will not know anything until about mid-August at the earliest, and even then it's still going to be speculative.
They're not showing
any part of their hand right now, except maybe that Bijan Robinson is going to be a little bit everywhere. That's all we know.
We won't know until week one, until we start to see guys
line
up. Might
be week four.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, look, Dean Pease did not play his hand very, very much in the early part of his tenure here as the DC. I don't think Ryan Nielsen, you're gonna see much of anything from him until we really get into the regular season. So,
nor should you. I mean, here's the thing: we like one of the open spots, right, is kind of that nickel spot. Like, I think we kind of know who's going to win on the outside at corner. But the three safeties, well, whoever is that third safety and is competing with a Mike Hughes, with a Clark Phillips kid that was drafted, like. There's questions there, but there's so much options because they could go three safeties. I asked Ryan Nielsen about that during last week before the open practice, because he talked. And that was the first time I got to talk to him, because I missed his opening press conference because I was at covering a fight in New York. And I asked him, like, hey, man, you've got three high-level safeties here, three guys who basically started every game last year in Richie Grant, Jalen Hawkins, and obviously Jesse Bates. Like, does this mean we're going to see a lot of three safeties? And we know that DP loves three safety packages. And he was like, well, we'll see what happens, and start talking about Mike Hughes. And by the way, a guy not to sleep on, and I'll leave you on this, because I always pay attention to this. And it's really key, and listeners should know this too, because when you hear Arthur Smith talk, when you hear Ryan Nielsen talk, when you hear Dave Ragone talk, if they bring up a player unprompted, it's for one of two reasons. They're either trying to motivate that player, but if it's in a positive way, keep that in the back of your head when you're talking about a 53 and talking about a role. And Ryan Nielsen, unprompted, brought up D. Alford. And he brought up, hey, D. Alford, if he makes a mistake, the next day he fixes it. That's something that's valuable to this staff. And that's something in the back of my head, I'm like, okay. You know, D. Alford's a guy competing for a spot here, but they're bringing up in the spring as somebody like that. To me, that tells me, hey, he might have a shot here to be a bigger part, maybe have a bigger role, because if they're bringing him up unprompted, that means he's on their mind.
Mike, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, take care, guys.
You got it. When we get back, does Tony Ressler need to clear the air? We're going to open up the phone lines, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Is it time for Tony Ressler to clear the air? I'll explain next. Chuck Green, the Key Studios, Sports Radio, Not to the Game, the Odyssey.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.